Thankfully, we serve that God. Amen. And no matter what we're going through, God doesn't care because God's got it. And he's got it taken care of. And no matter what it is, he'll be there for us. Turn to your, open your Bibles to Ruth chapter number 1 tonight. Ruth chapter number 1. Quite a long time ago, I preached a message on going down to Moab. And this is the second part to that. It's entitled Coming Home the Hard Way. And we've already talked about going down to Moab. We'll read that here in a minute, just as a quick refresher. And then we'll preach on the second part of this idea, which is coming home the hard way. Ruth chapter number 1. If you would, go ahead and stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God. And we'll read here Ruth chapter number 1. It says, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn, which by the way means to stay a little while, in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They didn't sojourn, but they stayed in the prodigal land. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So we find out here that they go down to, they leave Bethlehem, Judah. They go down to Moab. They leave the promises of Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah was a picture of where they should have been in their life. That's where the blessings of God were, where they were in Bethlehem. They should not have went to Moab. Moab was a type of the world. And they go down to Moab. The Bible says they sojourned there, which means a temporary stay. And they decided to go down to Moab and say, you know what we'll do? We got this. We got it under control. And what we're going to do is we'll go to Moab for a temporary, for a short time, and we'll return back to Bethlehem when we're ready. Problem is, too often times when we get our lives into sin, it keeps us a lot longer than we want to stay. And it costs us more than we want to pay. And that's what happened here. They said, we'll go and live in Moab. We'll live where, and we'll be able to come back when we're ready. Unfortunately, they didn't. What happened? Here is Naomi. Here's this lady. And after a short little time goes by of 10 years, there, her husband's dead now. The Lord has taken her. Two boys are dead now. She's sitting there left in Moab with nothing. And here we go. Look at verse number 6. And then she arose and her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Speaking of going back to Bethlehem, Judah. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughter and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. That's where we left off last time. Kind of give you a quick overview of that. You find out there in verse number 6, the Bible said that she arose. If you're going to get right with God, there has to be a time where you realize that you're not in the right spot. There has to be a time you realize, hey, I'm not living for the Lord. Hey, I'm not in the where I should be at. And there's a time of realization like the prodigal son. He came to himself, the Bible says, about the prodigal son. Here she arose. Aha, you know what? I shouldn't be here. I should be at Bethlehem, Judah. So there's a time of realization. Number 2, there is a time of repentance. She went forth from the place where she was, there in verse 7. So she left the place. If you're going to get right with God, guess what? The repentance is I'm going this way, and I'm going to turn and go 180 degrees and go the opposite direction. So she left the place where she was. There's repentance all over that. And then, and thirdly there, we find in that verse that there's a returning. When she went forth from the place where she was, they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. When you get right with God, you must realize that you're not where you should be. Number 2, you need to repent of your sin. Turn and go the other direction. And number 3, you're able to return unto God. Now bring into the new, coming home the hard way. So now we know where we're at. They're coming home. It's time to go home. It's finally time to get right with God and head home. And that's where we jump to verse number 17. Look at verse 17. Verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we pray that tonight would be a night that we can, maybe there's somebody here that's living down in Moab that needs to return, God, and I pray that we know the teams just got back from camp, and Lord, they're on fire for God, and I pray they continue that fire. I pray they do not let that fire go out, and I pray, God, if there's anything, not only in the teens' lives, but in our lives, Lord, that we would get that cleaned up tonight. God, I pray you'd speak with us and really move tonight. Let the Holy Spirit work its way in this auditorium, in the sanctuary tonight. And God, we won't fail to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So number one, here we find out coming home the hard way. Number one, we find the arrival in Bethlehem, Judah. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the trip from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah, was about a 7 to 10 day journey to get there. They had to cross over the River Jordan. Thank you. It wasn't an easy journey. It took some effort to get back there. It wasn't like, boom, they just got back. What's your point in all that? When you repent, when you get right with God, it's going to take some work. It doesn't just happen. You can't just pray a prayer and say, God, I just want to get right with you, forgive me, and move on. Yeah, of course, God will forgive you, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to truly repent, repenting is an action. It's you're going this way, and you're doing this thing, and you have to make the decision, which way am I going to go? If I'm going to repent of my sin, it's not just, Lord, forgive me, and I'm going to do this sin in another day or two. Repentance is I'm going this way, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to turn 180 degrees and go this way. But let me tell you, if you're going to truly get right with God, it's going to take some work. It isn't easy. You're going to have to purpose in your heart every day, God, Lord, I don't want to go that direction again. Lord, I don't want to make that same decision. Lord, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. And it's going to take some work and some effort to get right with God. It's not always easy. So here we find out it took them a long time. But look what happens. So they get back to Bethlehem. And I got a few points on Bethlehem. Number one is it's a city of God's praise. The word Judah means praise. And so Bethlehem, Judah was a place where the Lord was honored and exalted, where people would praise the Lord. Whereas we know down in Moab, where Naomi was, she had lost all her praise. She was defeated. I mean, look where her life had taken her. Look what had happened in her life. Where she was at, where she no longer has her husband. She no longer has her boys. And there she was living in a defeated life, and there wasn't any praise going on in Moab. Why? Because Moab's a type of the world. The world isn't praising God. The world wants nothing to do with God. And furthermore, to make it more specific, the world wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. God's okay. You can mention God. You can go with that. But the moment you bring Jesus into it, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We don't want to talk about that. There wasn't any praise going down there. And you can imagine, you know, we need to praise God. When we're living for the Lord and we're living right for God, we need to praise His holy name. I enjoy coming. You know why I enjoy coming to church? Because when we come to church, you know what we do? You know why we sing? You know why we pray together? You know why we do, you know, we sing and we have awanas, we have all the different things? Because we want to praise God. You know why we have VBS? We want to bring honor and glory and praise unto God. And that's what Bethlehem represented, the praise of the Lord. And when we're living for the Lord, we can have praise and we can be in a good mood. We can have, we look at some of the happiest people in the world. Or when you're faithful, when you're serving God and when you're living for the Lord, boy, it's a good thing to serve God. It's a happy thing to be faithful to God. But you know what? The truth, the other side of that coin is you realize that the most miserable people in this world are always people that are living down in Moab. And they're people that are saved, but they're not living where God would have them to live. The most miserable people are not the lost. The lost people, they're having a good time. They're enjoying their sin. They're enjoying the things of the world. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. There's nothing to grieve them of their sin. We know that we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do wrong. And there's nothing, when you're not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit. So they're out partying, they're doing this and they're doing that, and everything is fine, and there's no conviction there. But when you're a born-again believer and you start going heading towards down to Moab, you start allowing sin to come into your life, that Holy Spirit starts to get grieved. And there's no way that you're going to be happy in that. There's no way you're going to find happiness living down in Moab. That here we find Bethlehem being the praise, and there's no praise in the heart of a backslidden Christian. A backslidden Christian isn't, you know, praising the Lord and singing "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." They're not living in that way. So not only was it a city of God's praise, number two, it was a city of God's presence. Look at verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. There was God's presence was in Bethlehem, Judah. When Naomi was in Moab, she missed out on the presence of God. When you're living outside of God's will, you don't have the presence of God. Now, don't get me wrong, you can't lose your salvation. You have Christ in your heart. But when you're out of the presence of God, when you're away from God, why? Because we know God never changes. God never moves. God's always where God has always been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only people that move, the only thing that moves in this scenario is us away from God. God's always, I'm thankful we serve a God who's rock solid. He's our rock. And we have to build our foundation on that rock. But it's us who move away from God. God is that constant. He is always the same. And here we find out here that that when you leave God and when you're going down to Moab, when you're living in sin and when you're not living for the Lord, you're not in the presence of God the way you should be. Same for Naomi. She should have been living in Bethlehem, Judah. In Psalms chapter 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forever, evermore." You want joy in your life? Stay in the presence of God. You want happiness in your life? Get right with God. You want to live a life filled with joy? And of course, we know that the Christian life isn't always joy and lilies and everything else. Of course not. There's going to be valleys. There's going to be difficulties. But when we keep our eyes focused on the Lord and not focused on all the things going on around us, we can keep our joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? So here we find out here that when you backslide, you're telling God, I don't need your presence, I don't need your help, I don't need you in my life. And you know what? What happens too often many times is that when those storms do come in our life, When we do go through the valleys of life, when we have difficulties in our life, there's something that happens that the devil wants to step in. And the devil, and you'll notice for people when they go through a difficult time or a hard time, what happens, there's only two things that can happen. Either they allow the devil to get them to run away from God, or they'll say, you know what, this trial and this tribulation and this problem I'm going through right now is going to draw me closer to God. There's only two things that can happen. See, when God brings those difficulties and those trials in our life, and here Naomi's in that position, and it's because of sin in her life, but she's in this position of being where she shouldn't be. But you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to draw her closer to him. And for whatever reason, when people go through difficult times, they want to run away from God, and they want to get God out of their life, when the opposite is true. God's saying, hey, remember me. Won't you come back? And no doubt that's happening here. And you know why we come to church is to be fed. That's number three, the city of God's provisions. Bethlehem was what? The house of bread. It was in Bethlehem where God supplies the best provisions. You know, don't turn there for sake of time. I'm going to read you something about how God supplies and how God makes provisions for us in our life. I'm thankful we serve a God that does provide. I'm thankful that I realize in my life that I do not provide, but God does. And it's good for us to realize that. But you know, when we go through a difficult time, when we need the presence and the provisions of God, you know what Isaiah 55 says? And I'll read it to you. "Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found, and call upon him while he is near." In other words, when you're going through that time, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Call on him while he is near. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake that, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now get this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We've been studying that in Sunday school. You know what that verse says? God knows better. God has a plan. God knows what tomorrow will bring. God knows what next week or year will bring. And too often times, you know what we do? We say, you know what? Let's go down to Moab. And you know what? Because right now there was a famine going on in Bethlehem. And you know, times were tough. But you know what they said to do? It'll just be better if we go into the world for just a little bit. We'll just sojourn. We'll go there for a little while. And then we'll come back when we're ready. What happened? They thought that their ways were better than his ways. And that their thoughts were better than his thoughts. Can I encourage you today? God knows best. God knows what's best for you. He knows what you need in your life. He knows, and sometimes when we look around and we go, God, I don't understand. God, I'm not sure why that we're having this problem. I'm not sure what, you know, this valley is for. Let me tell you something. We serve a God that provides the bread and that provides for us in the time of need. I'm thankful that we serve that God. We need to be fed, folks. You want to live a life for the Lord? You want to live in Bethlehem, Judah? You got to be fed. People say, well, I don't need to go to church, and I don't need to read, you know, I can have church at home, or I can have church in the woods, or I can have church in here, and I can have church. Let me tell you something. Can you imagine? I like watching, we watch that show Alone. It's okay. I don't know if anyone here watches that show Alone, but they go into the woods, way out in the middle of nowhere, by themselves. They do all their camera work, and they got to live there, and they got to fish for their own food, but they can only take, like, certain items, and they can only take, like, a maximum of 10 items, so it's not like they can take a good fishing pole. They can just take a line. A fishing line would be an item. And they got to use a stick, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but they go out there and they're alone and they're out there and, you know, they go for so much time and they'll go, you know, it'll be like this person hasn't eaten in 7 days. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. I couldn't make it. I think after day one, I would be done. I would hit my button saying, hey, come get me. I need to eat, amen. But, you know, but they go out there and I can't imagine the hunger that they feel. I've never went 7 days, obviously, without eating for one day, you know. Without, you know, choosing not to eat. You know what happens? You're starving yourself. They're literally starving to death. And you can watch as their body, they always show like after those people that are there for 30, 40, 50 days out there barely eating any food. And man, the body weight they lose, they look horrible. You know why? Because they haven't been fed. You know what happens to a Christian when we're not being fed? They start to starve to death. We're not strong. I mean, you look at them, they can barely pick up stuff. They have no strength in them. They look horrible and weak and depleted, and they look awful because they haven't been fed in so long. When you look at a Christian who hasn't been fed in a while, when you look at somebody who is living in Moab, they're weak. They're defeated. I'm thankful for the bread of life. I'm thankful that that bread that I can go to anytime I'm hungry, anytime I need the Lord, I can go into that bread and say, Lord, help me. Lord, give me the strength I need. I'm thankful we have the bread. Lastly, city of God's people. She returned to a place of like-minded people. Down in Moab, we know that they didn't think the same way. Why is it important that we live for God? Why is it important that we live in the city of God's people? Because let me tell you, you know why I like coming to church? Because all week long we hear garbage from the world. We hear garbage from TV and the radio and all this stuff. And we get bombarded with the world all week long. You know what's nice? And like we had our class get together last night, yesterday evening. It's so much fun to have friends come over that are like-minded people that talk the same way, that don't, you know, use words you shouldn't use and whatever it might be. And it's so nice to have people come over or to come to a church with like-minded people and get out of the garbage of the world and just get away with God's people. That's a great thing. We should never take that for granted. Why? Because how important it is to be in the city of God's people, and you don't realize what life is like when all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm living in Moab. I love being around God's people. And let me tell you, down in Moab, they think differently. They worship false gods. They had different traditions. It's no different today. Out in the world, let me tell you, I don't know if you've noticed, but they don't worship the same God we do. They don't follow the same things we do. They don't act the same way we do. I enjoy coming to church, being around like-minded people. So number one is the arrival in Bethlehem. Number two is the announcement in Bethlehem. Look at verse 19 again in Ruth chapter number 1. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, and all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara." So here what happens, they return here, they walk into Bethlehem, and they're arriving. Here's the big announcement. They moved about them, the Bible says there in verse 19. So you can imagine that the city was in an uproar. "Oh, did you hear? Naomi's back. Hey, can you believe she here? She's back in Bethlehem." You can kind of see the people moving about them and coming around them and say, "Hey, Naomi, how you doing?" And you can imagine that the news spread and there was excitement for her returning to Bethlehem. You know what the Bible says about that? Luke 15, 10? It says, "Likewise, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." There were those people in Bethlehem. And as she came back, boy, the excitement. You know, there's joy. There's joy when people get saved. This morning they joined the church. How exciting is that? They didn't even tell me. I was mad. I'm like, "I'm your Sunday school teacher. You didn't even tell me. That's illegal, isn't it? Isn't that illegal, Bill? I think that should be illegal." You know, you didn't even tell me, you know. But I'm thrilled, you know. And when the joy of not only seeing people saved, but people join the church, get baptized, but people getting right with God, and the joy that brings, and you can feel the Holy Spirit and the excitement in the air when people get saved, when people get right with God, and when people make decisions, you can feel that. You can feel the passion. You can feel the Holy Spirit and the excitement about that. In the same way here, the excitement moving around here. So what does Naomi say? Here Naomi speaks. Look at verse number 20. "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." At first glance, it kind of looks like she's bitter at God. She's mad at God. And you know, she's saying, "Call me not Naomi," but, you know, Naomi actually means pleasant. Of course, Mara, we know, means bitter. And, you know, she's saying, "Call me bitter." And at first, it kind of looks like she's bitter at God. And too often times in people's lives, when adversity and trials and valleys comes, as I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, a lot of people get bitter at God. They get mad at God. And they got bitterness at God for whatever is going on in their life, and they get angry at God, and they blame God. So many people out there are not in a church right now tonight because they have bitterness towards God. There's a lot of people out there that are bitter at God. And bitterness comes, and it's a horrible thing, and it looks like she's bitter at God. Well, I like to say, and I'm not the one that came up with it, but you can get bitter or you can get better. And I can promise you, when God brings a valley and when God brings something into your life, He's not trying to destroy your life. He's not trying to ruin your life. What He's trying to do is He's trying to make you grow. Because you grow in the valleys. You grow through the difficulties. There's no way to grow if you live on the mountaintop all the time. You can't grow when everything's just always going right and always going good and there's never anything wrong. You're not going to grow. So God will say, "Hey, let me take you through this valley." You know why? Because when you come up the other side, you can look back down in that valley and go, "Okay, God, I see why that happened. Okay, God, I can see that plan. I couldn't see it then. But God, I got you now." And you grow in your faith. The faith meter goes, right? And every time we come out the other side of a valley, it goes up a little more and up a little more. And we grow in God. But we can get bitter. And sometimes instead of growing and getting better, so many times people get bitter. And they might get bad. They might get mad at a fellow Christian. They might get mad at God. They might get mad at parents, friends, whoever it might be. And bitterness comes in. But it sounds like kind of here that Naomi is blaming God. And unfortunately, again, many Christians today are bitter towards God. You know, I remember, if you all remember the story of Amanda Blackburn that happened a few years ago. And she was the pastor's wife in Indiana. And I'm not going to go into detail because we have kids in here. But what happened with her, and she was pregnant, and what happened there. And of course, they found the people that did it. And they got charged for double murder. It's amazing how the world doesn't look at abortion as murder. But yet, when a pregnant lady dies, that they get charged for double murder. It's amazing how that works. But anyway, so y'all know kind of what happened there. And I remember her husband was a pastor, and he got up there and he forgave, you know, he forgave them, those men, and forgave them. And, you know, got up there and said, I forgive them, and, you know, this and that. And I'm just thinking, man, that'd be tough to do. I don't know if I could do that, you know. I'm not going to lie and say, that'd be easy. That'd be tough. That'd be tough to forgive those men for what they did, you know. But he did it. And as I said, you can either get bitter or you can get better when those things come into our life. Look at that in verse number 20. Verse 20, and she called unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She's not blaming God. Can I say this? Because she's repenting. She's getting right with God. She's not blaming God. You know who she's blaming? Herself. Herself. She's saying, God has dealt bitterly with me because of me, because of my fault. You know why? You know the world we live in today? I don't know if I need to tell you this, but in the world today, you know what everybody wants to do? They want to point the finger. Everybody wants to say, oh, no, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault and their fault and their fault. Brother Joe could tell you, Dalmage could tell you all about that, working in the prison ministries. Every one of them guys are in there, and none of them did what they did, and it was always everybody else, somebody else's fault on why they're in there. Very few people, I'm sure, admitted to saying, yeah, it was my fault. I messed up. I should be in here, and I need to serve my time. Very few people. It was always, well, it was my dad's fault, because when I was a kid growing up, blah, 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 blah. It was always my mom's fault. It was always my brother's fault. It was always, you know, this person. And they always want to blame and point the blame somewhere else. You know what, Christian? When we mess up and when we get ourselves in a place like Moab, you know what we need to do? Don't point around and say it's their fault and their fault and their fault. You know what we need to do is say, you know what? This is my fault. I got me here. No one made them go to Moab. They chose to go to Moab. And you can sit there and blame everything you want. But you know what? Everyone has a choice. We have a choice whether we're going to get saved or not. We have a choice whether we're going to serve God or not. We have a choice whether we're going to live in Bethlehem, Judah. We have a choice whether we're going to go to Moab. We have a choice whether when we go down to Moab, are we going to come back to Bethlehem? Or are we going to stay there until God finally lets us have a pretty good spanking? And finally, then maybe we'll come back. See, we have a choice to make. And what we need to do as a believer is, you know what? No matter what comes up in our life, when we get ourselves in sin, we need to point at ourselves and say, you know what? It's my fault. It's my fault that came into my life. It's my fault that I got myself in that predicament. And get right with God. Look at verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Because of my choices. Look at the end of verse 21. When they call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She's saying, hey guys, it's my fault. It's my fault that I'm going through this difficult time. It's my fault that the judging hand of God came into my life. Self-accountability. Christian, if you're living in Moab and you're living in a place where you need to get on your knees before God, don't go before God and say, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, help me. Help me, God. Don't get bitter. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I need some help. And lastly, look at the end of verse 21. They call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Look at verse 22. Oh, let me point this out first before we get to 22. She tells them not to change your name. She says, I want you to call me this from now on. I don't want you to call Naomi who? She kind of says, call me Mara. You know why I believe she does that? And there are two reasons. She never wants to forget what life was like in Moab. Every time someone called her name, she would remember the choices that got her where she was that day. Believer, when you get yourself out of that Moab situation, let me encourage you, don't ever forget about that. Don't ever forget about when you made the choices to go to Moab, where that got you, the pain that brought you. The hole that you were in. You know why? Because when you get out of that valley and you come up the other side and you start to grow, if you remember why you got there, you know what happens if you at least learn from your mistakes? Everybody messes up. Nobody's perfect. But you know what we should do? Learn from our mistakes and not do them again. And there she's trying to say, I want to remember what got me down there. I want to remember how I got myself into that horrible place. And I don't ever want to forget it. Second thing about that, let me encourage you. You know what? Oftentimes there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And I promise you, when there's a little bit of a famine in the land, you know what the devil wants you to do? And I promise you, the devil wants you to start looking at everything you don't have instead of looking at what God has blessed you with. If they would have kept their eyes, if they would have been in Bethlehem, Judah, and kept their eyes focused on everything God had already given them instead of maybe the things they didn't have, they would have never ended up in Moab. They would have never got themselves in that place. Keep your eyes focused on God. Thank God for what you have. And lastly, verse 22, and I'll be done. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her. So she comes back. She returns. Maybe there's somebody tonight that wants to repent. Maybe there's somebody tonight that's living in sin. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you just want to pray for and say, God, we need to call on God's name and just pray for maybe a person in our life or whoever it might be. Maybe there's something in our life we need to get right. Maybe teenager, maybe you're back from camp and it's been about a week now or whatever it's been, and you're saying maybe that fire has gone out a little bit. Maybe you just want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to go back down to Moab. Lord, I just got back to Bethlehem. We had a week at camp, and now we've gotten Bethlehem, Judah, and we're living for the Lord, but maybe you're kind of slipping a little bit. Maybe we're kind of going back down to Moab a little bit. Remember what it felt like to be right with God? Remember what it felt like, teens, when you were at camp and on fire for God and got away from the things of Moab and got away from that stuff and that garbage for a little while? Maybe you want to pray and say, God, I want to stay here. I don't want to go. I want to remember that. Altars will be open. I'll give you this illustration, and then I'll have Brother Pat come after it. There was a foolish old farmer. He concluded one day that the oats he had fed his mule for years were simply costing him too much. So he hatched a plan. He mixed a little sawdust in with the feed, and then a little more the next day, and even more the next day, and even more the next day, each time reducing the amount of oats in the mix. The mule didn't seem to notice the gradual change. So the farmer thought that things were going fine and kept decreasing the portion of oats. But weeks later, on the day he finally fed the poor beast nothing but sawdust, the mule finished the meal and fell over dead. So what's your point in that? Brother Pratt, you can come. Miss Bonnie. It's a lot like sin. It's a lot like when we allow sin in our life, you know what happens? We're eating on the oats, and we're serving God, and we're living for God. But you know what we do? We introduce a little bit of sawdust. And we say, you know what? Oh, that isn't too bad. Oh, man, we'll mix a little. And the farmer mixed a little bit more, and the mule wasn't dying. The mule seemed to be okay. There he is walking around the field. Everything seems to be great. But he had a little bit more sawdust and a little bit more and a little more and a little more. Until what happened? Finally, there was no more oats left. It was all sawdust. You know why? Because it said it would cost him too much to keep feeding the oats. Sometimes it'll cost you to be a Christian. Sometimes it'll cost you something to serve God. But you know what? You got to keep serving Him. You allow that sawdust to get into your life, and I promise you, the devil's not going to be happy with just a little sprinkle. He's going to add a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And so oftentimes people think everything's just fine because it's always been fine. But when you continue to add more sawdust to the mix, before you know it, there's no more oats left. Maybe you're sitting there tonight, maybe here tonight, and saying, you know what, Lord, I've introduced a little bit of sawdust in my life. Maybe you got a whole lot. I don't know the situation. Maybe you want to come down to the altar and pray and say, God, just forgive me my sins. Lord, I repent of my sin. And Lord, help me to come home. Help me get home, God. I need your help. And He'll help you. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. The altars are open tonight. Brother Pat, what number do we have?
314.
314, then why don't we go ahead and stand? Altars are open. 314, sing it out now.
Out of my body.